What is up, good people? So glad that you're here checking out this extra bonus episode. It's just me and you today, just hanging out, talking about the year just a touch, and really talking about my 10 favorite albums of the year. So hope you're in for that. I'm not putting any of this information in the show notes because I want you to, you know, listen and sit in the conversation a little bit. I know it's like around the holidays, and if you're like me, you're looking for podcasts to cruise around with the family, and you know, we're kid friendly around here, so feel free to play this in the car with your kids while you're traveling to and from, you know, family get-togethers and hanging with friends and doing the holiday things and all that sort of stuff. So glad you're here. 2023 was a fantastic year. Let's get into it. All right, we're here, we're doing it. We're talking about my 10 favorite records of the year and just a little bit about the year itself. So I got some notes, you know, here on my iPad, and I'm going to just talk about a couple things, and then we'll get into the records of the year. So first thing I want to do is just say thanks to all the guests we had on the show. We went through a little bit of a renaissance this year, and which is odd because we're, you know, only a couple years old. We're only 40. This is episode 41, so we're not really into this a lot, but you know how things go. You get a little bit of clarity and figure out what stuff's all about. So we enjoyed the first season of the show, talking about music and all that sort of stuff with people, and then exploring just conversations that I've been having with all types of creative people about their process creatively, their creative journey, the work that they've done, things they face day in and day out as creative people. And I think that's really important. MyFi is about clarity. It's about finding clarity for yourself as a creative person. And it's been really interesting to hear the stories of the people that we've had on the show. So I want to say thank you to every single person who has been on the show. We kicked off the year with Dylan Nash from the band Lily. Amazing. I'm actually going to talk about them just a little bit, a connection that they have to one of my favorite records of the year. Interviewed my friend JD Clayton. Amazing. He had an incredible year. He's got some great music out. You should check him out. Great country artist. OK Kennedy released her first record this year. It's fan-freaking-tastic. A lot of great people worked on that album, but she is just a fantastic songwriter and artist, and check her out. We interviewed Ryan Humbert from The Shootouts. They have also had a fantastic year. They performed at the Grand Ole Opry for the first time in their career, released two records, if I remember right. And then we interviewed Sons of Silver. That whole band basically was on the podcast that day. It was fantastic to have all them on there. And they have a record coming. They've teased a little single. They've been working on this record for a long time. It's going to be amazing. They're a great rock band based out of LA. We had the Imaginaries on the show. They've had a great year, done some work in film, released a lot of music and creative projects and great stuff. Shane, who's in the Imaginaries, started a guitar pedal company called Westerland Audio that we talked about quite a bit. And you can go back and check out all these episodes. I encourage you to. Matthew Mayfield, working on a new record. It's going to be amazing. He's one of my favorite rock singer songwriters and a solid dude too. We got to hang out in Birmingham over the summer and super good hangs. Chris Staples released a fantastic record this year as well. Did a huge tour across the US, like kind of small venues and like house shows and stuff. But everything I saw from that tour was amazing. I was out of town when he came through my area, so I missed him, but he's a phenomenal songwriter. Chris Staples, great episode. Gabe Larson from the band Waldemar. They were on CBS. I think it's a CBS Saturday morning thing. They had a great debut on there. Their record is fantastic. And I would say it's an honorable mention. It almost made my top 10, the Waldemar record. One of my favorites of the year for sure. Sid Seth, a great pop artist from New York City. Hope to hear some more music from him soon. He dropped a couple singles this year. Aslan Freeman, my friend, who is the music director and guitarist for Lainey Wilson, who had a heck of a year. And even as I'm recording this, the day I'm recording this, they are playing, oh my gosh, I forgot where they're at tonight. It's like the Tonight Show. It's something big. There's something big. I saw it on his Instagram today, and I just can't remember off the top of my head. Sean Kelly, who wrote a great book. Oh my gosh. And the name of it is escaping me. Don't call it hair metal. I had to look behind me because it's in my reading stack. I'm about halfway through it. It's or a little more than half. I'm almost done with that book, actually. And it's fantastic. It's just about respect around 80s hair metal and that whole genre and the virtuosity and stuff that sometimes gets ignored because the genre was looked at as a little bit cheesy. Even I don't agree with that. But if you do, there was a lot of great talent in that. Sean wrote a great book about that. He's in some incredible bands. My friend V Script, who basically invented a whole new type of music this year in Afro Bounce and released some great singles. He's got another one coming. And then in the fall, talked to my friend Lauren Spring, who I've gotten to songwrite with a little bit this year. She's released some incredible projects, a new single, Where You Belong. She's got more stuff coming. Ariel Posen, virtuosity of a guitar player, but also released a great record this year. My friend Joel Cordy, who owns Chase Bliss Audio, the founder and owner of Chase Bliss Audio, a brilliant dude, one of the best souls you'll ever meet in your life. His episode was our biggest watched and listened to episode of the year, and you should go check it out. It's a great episode if you are in branding, if you own a business, you're an entrepreneur, if you're in the creative industry at all, you work with guitar players, or you are a guitar player, you would love it. My friend Needles, who actually was just in a session with yesterday, who's an incredible producer, and his stories about being in the industry and how he got started, all this sort of stuff, super inspiring. My friend Dorothea Taylor, who we've become kind of good friends after this episode. Dorothea is an incredible drummer. You probably know her from TikTok. She's huge, like 1.5 million followers on TikTok. She's doing a great Christmas giveaway right now. It's like the 12 days of Christmas, and she's giving away all this cool stuff. And she is just one of the sweetest, most charming people in the world. My friends Nick and Brandon from Whitestone Motion Pictures, who screened their first full-length film this year, The Daylong Brothers. It was fantastic. I got to attend the screening. They're just wonderful people. You can watch the trailer for The Daylong Brothers at their website, whitestonemp.com. And again, you can watch all these. And we finished out the year with my friend Tim Turnquist, who is the associate creative director at American Express. He works here in their Atlanta offices. And man, just an incredible episode about working in the creative industry, corporate versus freelance. He tells a great story about he was watching the Super Bowl and saw that a treatment that he had done actually made the Super Bowl. And so he's like watching the Super Bowl and finds out he was a part of creating a Super Bowl commercial, which is kind of cool. There's a cool story behind it too. Tim's a great dude. Please go back and check out some of these episodes. All of these were fantastic. And I just want to say thank you to each and every guest on the show. They have to take time out of their schedules to come on and tell their story and talk about what they're doing. And I just think it's fantastic. And you should go back over the holidays. If you missed any of those episodes, go back, check them out, and then check out their work and what they're up to. Let's support each other as creative folks. And I think that's awesome. And thank you. Thank you to all the listeners. I want to say thank you to all you guys who have listened to episodes, checked out the show, shared stuff on social media, subscribed on YouTube. We hit some milestones this year, and that's a great thing. It's hard to grow a podcast nowadays because there's a lot of them. And so you kind of got to find your audience. And I think that we have found each other. You and me. So glad you're here. I want to talk about my 10 records of the year. Was hoping to make this kind of a short episode for you so you can maybe find out about some records that you missed, maybe some records you forgot about. I'm going to post some stuff on social media with some links and stuff a couple weeks after this episode comes out. I encourage you to go look up some of these records and enjoy them yourself. Hit me up on social. I'm at Lee T. Baker on social, or you can hit me up at MyFi Podcast. Make sure you're following us there and all that good stuff. And tell me about the records that you love from the year too. But without any further ado, I'm going to start at number 10 because I actually put these in order. I'm going to start at number 10 and work my way to number one. Number one, if you're a friend of mine or we've talked music at all, is not going to surprise you. So you already know, but we'll get there. Number 10. On my top 10 favorite albums of the year. The new record from Marvelous 3, the record's called 4, appropriately titled as their fourth album, a solid stinking rock record. It was just amazing. The single they dropped was If We're on Fire, which actually isn't really one of my favorite tracks on the record. It's a great song, but there's a song called Jackie and Tina about a couple that... Butch Walker's just great at writing story songs to me. He wrote like a rock opera kind of thing a couple years ago. It was sort of a concept record, and it was awesome too. But Jackie and Tina is a great storytelling song about a couple that loves going to concerts together, and one of them passes away. And it's kind of sad, but it's got a lot of energy and stuff too. It's a rager. My Old School Metal Heart, great song. There's just great riffs on this record. And then they went and toured it, and they played like 3 sold out nights at the Tabernacle here in Atlanta. And then they did, I don't know, maybe a dozen shows or something like that. But I loved it. I loved it. You know, those guys were big hits. They had Freak of the Week was a breakout hit for them in the late 90s, if you're not familiar with Marvelous 3. But they're just a great rock band. And if you just like solid, incredibly well-written rock songs, Butch is one of my favorite songwriters, you would love this record. So I encourage you to go check that out. Number 9 is John Batiste's album, World Music Radio. I love John Batiste for a few reasons. One, he won Grant a couple years ago for a record. He won Record of the Year, Album of the Year. I think it was Album of the Year. Yeah, that he won. Unbelievable musician, songwriter. He's a Juilliard guy, piano player, Louisiana guy. So obviously I love him. If you know me, I'm from Louisiana. I love Louisiana. I love all things Louisiana. So love him. He's got a huge history in New Orleans. He was actually on one of my favorite Tiny Desks of the year. You know, NPR does this show, Tiny Desk, and Juvenile was on there this year, rapper from New Orleans. You got to know Juvenile. I should have even said that. John Batiste and Trombone Shorty came out and played melodicas with Juvenile on his NPR Tiny Desk, which was just fantastic. But this record's all over the place. John Batiste is so talented. He's one of those guys who can just do like a multitude of genres. So you may go, oh, well, you know, you may like say, oh, well, he's an R&B guy or a jazz guy. Maybe you've heard a song or two of his before and you want to put him in a corner. He doesn't do the corner well, because he does all the genres really great. The song Drink Water with John Bellion and Fireboy is probably my favorite track on the record. Call in Your Name is an awesome song as well. Super catchy, beautiful melody in that song. He does has a feature with Kenny G on the record. He's got a feature with Lil Wayne on the record. Let's see, a feature with Lana Del Rey on the record. Yeah, and it's just all over the place. You should go check it out. John Batiste, World Music Radio. Number 8 on my list of top 10s, The Struts, Pretty Vicious. So my whole family is Struts fans to varying degrees. I've seen The Struts twice in concert. They were actually the first show that I saw post-COVID. It was the first concert I went to after, you know, the world came back after COVID. Went with my friend Pierre. We had a great time. Was a fantastic show. Starbenders, one of my favorite bands. They just happen to be based out of Atlanta, but they're an incredible band. They opened up for the Struts that time. Well, this summer I got to go back and take my family, and Pretty Vicious was not out yet, but they did like 2 or 3 songs off the record. And I think Too Good at Raising Hell was out, which was the single. Rockstar was the second single, probably my favorite track on the record. It was in my top like 10 listened to songs on Apple Music this year. And Pretty Vicious, they played at that show, the title track, which is an awesome song as well. The record's just full of great, well-written, but also, and I'm going to say heavily produced in a really good way. I don't mean it's overproduced. I mean that it is uniquely, specifically well-produced as a record. And it may not, I don't know that it's my favorite record of theirs, because I love all their records a lot. And ironically, Butch Walker from Marvelous 3 produced one of their records. I can't remember if it was the first one or second one offhand. But I think you'll love it. It's a rock record. They're a great kind of glammy rock band. So if you love like Queen, stuff like that, you would love it. Their singer, Luke Struts, unbelievable. I think his real name's Luke Spiller, maybe something like that. Luke something. Unbelievable. Unbelievable vocalist, front man, but their whole band's just amazing. You will love them. So go check it out. Okay, that's 10, 9, 8. Number 7 on the list, from MAGS. Okay, it's like an acronym, like M.A.G.S. MAGS. The record's called Destroyer. My friend Jonathan turned me on to this. Jonathan Maloney, he's been on the podcast before. He did all of our artwork for MiFi, did the branding and all that sort of stuff for that. And he's a really good friend. We exchange records every once in a while, usually stuff that we both are really into music, so we listen to a lot of music, but every once in a while, we both will miss something, and he shared this with me. It was an amazing album. I loved it. Mags is an artist name for a guy named Elliot Douglas. He's from Buffalo originally, but he's based in LA. He reminds me a little bit of Bartiz Strange in the sense that, which the Bartiz Strange album Farm to Table was on my top 10 last year. If you listen to this episode that I did last year on my top 10 of 2022, I talked about the Bartiz Strange Farm to Table album. Well, Elliot Douglas is the same to me. In the sense that he kind of defies genres. It's pretty punky, alternative rock, a lot of it, but just incredibly well-written and does cross into some like R&B-ish sort of kind of hip-hop-y stuff like at times. I don't know. It's just, it's really unique to me. And I think you should go check it out. The title track's awesome. Destroyer's awesome. Opens the record. And then there's a song on there called Elephant, another personal favorite of mine. I would love to get him on the show. ElliotMags.com is his website. This is his third full length. And I think it's the best. After I discovered this, I went back and listened to a few of them and thought that it was just fantastic. Next on the list. So that was number seven. This is number six. Number six, we're counting down. The Killer Mike record, Michael. Man, probably, I don't know. It was unbelievable. I can't say it was my favorite hip hop record of the year. Ugh. See, number six and number five on my list are both hip hop albums. And they kind of went back and forth for me. It's like maybe favorite hip hop of the album of the year. But the Killer Mike record was amazing. I love his voice, his flow. He's such a well-respected dude in the world of hip hop and around Atlanta. And his subject matter is always meaningful. And he got Andre 3000 to rap on a song. You know what I'm saying? Because all we got from Andre this year was that flute record. And I thought that was kind of dope. I mean, I think people like hated on that a little bit. But I kind of respect the dude who's been so successful and just went like, man, I got to do something left of center, you know? But he did. But Killer Mike got Andre to rap on a track. And I think that's fantastic. Scientists and Engineers, is that the name of the track that Andre's on? But the whole record's great. You should go listen to that Killer Mike record. It's a long record too. A lot of subject matter. And he had some great features on that. I'm flipping over here to make sure. Not just Futures on there. Young Thug's on there. Obviously Andre. Just solid, solid record. You should go check it out. All right, number five. Number five on the list. Jack Harlow, Jackman. I thought that this record has some incredibly wonderful and challenging thematic stuff on it. And feels like his best work to me personally. I mean, I'm not saying these are the best records of the year. This is my top 10 favorite records of the year. And by favorite, I mean, there's the stuff that pretty much I listen to the most. You know what I'm saying? And so there was some stuff on that record, man. I shared that record with a lot of friends who really loved it too. Like Common Ground's real challenging as a, gang, real challenging, just the subject matter. He didn't hold back. They don't love it. Ambitious. Is that all right? I mean, there's a lot of songs on this record that I think the subject matter is great. And I always love hip hop music that kind of sticks with the theme. Like it's real easy to let like lyrics get outside the theme sometimes to me in hip hop records, because we're just, you know, the artist is just flowing and rhyming and just creating a great landscape of words and things like that, which I think is awesome. But I love it when there's like a theme and it drives a nail somewhere. And I think that record does that really, really well. Number four on the list, the Miley Cyrus record, Endless Summer Vacation. I thought the production on this record was just fantastic. I think Kid Harpoon did most of the record, who's a fantastic bass player, producer. But I told you earlier when I was thanking Dylan Nash from the band Lily that I was going to mention them again. So the drummer in Lily, this guy Max, I guess is dating Miley. I'm not really in that scene of like knowing who's dating who. You know what I'm saying? Not my deal. However, Max produced a couple of tracks on this record, and ironically, or maybe not ironically, they're my favorite tracks, Handstand and Violet Chemistry. At least in my research, those were the two tracks that Max worked on and knocked it out of the park. I mean, Rose Colored Lenses, Jaded Flowers, all that stuff's amazing. River's a great song. But Handstand and Violet Chemistry are my favorite tracks on the record, and Max from Lily, the drummer from Lily, apparently produced those. songs. Lily played last year on the Miley Cyrus Dolly Parton. They did like a New Year's Eve thing, and Lily played on there. That's how they got on my radar. I saw them about a year ago and reached out and had Dylan on the show about a month later, and was a great interview, great hang. So that Miley Cyrus record, awesome stuff. All right, number three, we're getting down there. Number three. Inhaler, Cuts and Bruises. Got to see Inhaler at Buckhead Theater here in Atlanta this year. Fantastic show. I got to be honest with you. So their first record 2 years ago in 2021 was one of my favorite albums of the year. I think they're an incredible band. I followed them, listened to them. I get to the show, and I have a friend who works at the Buckhead Theater, so I'm sitting there talking to him, and he goes, yeah, I think a bunch of people just showed up because the singer's Bono's kid. And I was like, what? No, dude, I would know that. I've been listening to this band for 2 years. Turns out I just missed it. Turns out the singer from Inhaler is Bono's kid, and now I can't unhear it. But he was awesome that night, and he never even mentioned that. I mean, they're just out there doing their own thing, and I think they've made two fantastic rock records back to back. I bought them both on vinyl. I think they're just well-written, great, raw, punky-ish, pop-ish rock records, and they're just amazing. If you dig that sort of thing, you should go check them out. Super young dudes doing their thing. These Are the Days is a fantastic song on that record. Love Will Get You There, great kind of Oasis-y sort of stuff on the record at times. Love Will Get You There kind of gives me a little Oasis-y vibes. Incredible record, and you should go check it out. And love it if you love rock music. Number two, I've talked about this record a couple of times this year, and I heard the single last Christmas. So in December of 22, I actually heard the single, added it to a playlist, started listening to it a ton, loved the single. The record came out in January, I believe. And so it's been out quite a while. So usually something that comes out so early in the year, it doesn't stay in my top 10. You know what I'm saying? Because like so many other records come out during the year that it's hard to stay. But this record, Ray, My 21st Century Blues, fantastic record. Another sort of genre-defining kind of thing. The first track I heard was Escapism. Unbelievable song. Black Mascara, another fantastic song. She's a wonderful singer in the sense that she almost is like Adele, has those qualities of like intimate sort of ballady, even like 50s, 60s female vocalist kind of vibes. Like she can croon, she can do the whole, I don't know, just great, great singer, but she can kind of get into hip hop territory. She definitely does R&B well, pop well. She's toured the world. She's really blown up this year and is just an amazing singer, sings and deals with some really heavy, amazing subject matter. She seems like a great person. And the record is just real from song to song. You go, whoa, that's different. Like it just kind of hits you in different places. And I love that about the record. I kept coming back to it. You know, I listened to it January, February-ish, and then kind of other stuff came out. Then I revisited it during the summer, loved it again. And I kind of let it go again. Then around October, I was like, oh, that Ray record. I just kept going back to it. And what I do with these lists, all year long, I keep a playlist of albums that I think will be in my top 10 of the year. And then at the end of the year, you know, I kind of go back through that playlist and kind of kick some stuff out and kind of narrow it down. And even today, I just took the last one out that I was like, oh, well, like, you know what I'm saying? It didn't make the top 10. So it's what it is. And so that Ray record, you know, I would go back and look in that playlist. It just kept coming up. So before I hit number one, which will be no surprise to anyone who knows me, I want to review number 10, Marvelous 3-4. Number 9, John Batiste, World Music Radio. Number 8, The Struts, Pretty Vicious. Number 7, Mags, Destroyer. Number 6, Killer Mike, Michael. Number 5, Jack Harlow, Jackman. Number 4, Miley Cyrus, Endless Summer Vacation. Number 3, Inhaler, Cuts and Bruises. Number 2, Ray, My 21st Century Blues. And without any further ado, my number 1 favorite album of the year, The Rolling Stones, Hackney Diamonds. No surprise, I'm a massive Stones fan. They haven't released original music in 18 years since A Bigger Bang, which was a great record, but they didn't have a lot of energy, in my opinion, on that record. they came back with Hackney Diamonds and had a load of energy on this record. And Charlie Watts, their late drummer, the original Stones drummer who passed away, he plays on a couple of tracks on this record that they had recorded, obviously, before he passed. Bill Wyman, an old member of the Stones, comes back and plays bass on a couple of tracks. Paul McCartney plays bass on a track. Stevie Wonder's on the record. Elton John's on the record. Lady Gaga's on the record. But they're not, like, featured. Like, Stevie and Elton John just played on the record. You wouldn't even know it's them. Their name, it doesn't say, like, featuring Stevie Wonder, whatever. I don't even think the other track says featuring Paul McCartney. Maybe it does. Let me look here. Maybe it does. Maybe Paul McCartney got the feature. But he just plays bass on it. No, it doesn't even say featured Paul McCartney. He played on Bite My Head Off. He played bass on it. Killer bass tone on that record, too, on that song. This record, cover to cover, there's not a song I skip. I think the drums sound great. Guitars sound great. Mix sounds great. The band just wrote their brains out for this record. I don't skip a song on it. Obviously, I'm a little bit of a homer here. Like, I love the Stones. I'm a fan, so I'm going to say it's great for sure. I think it is a great record. And man, it's hard to say. They may be doing their best work. People have definitely had negative things to say about, not their best work, but they're competing with it. They're still doing great things. Mick is 80. Keith will be 80 in like a week. This is crazy, y'all. And they said they have enough material already. They're like, they have enough material. Their material for the record's done. They're halfway through tracking the next record, which is just wild. If you have not listened to this and you're a fan of good music, period, you should listen to this. Andrew Watt produced the record. Andrew Watt won Producer of the Year at the Grammys last year. He knew how to make the Stones just sound great and like the Stones. It's not produced modern, even though Andrew's worked with tons of great hip-hop artists and pop artists. He's like in his mid-30s and really is an unbelievable producer. He just knows how to get the best out of people, and I love a lot of the work that he's done. I was shocked when I heard he was doing this Stones, or that he had done the Stones album before it came out, after they announced it. But I read an article in Guitar Player magazine. My friend David loaned me the mag, and I checked out the article, and it was just unbelievable. The article where they interview Keith in the issue of Guitar Player, I think it was from like October, maybe, when the record came out. The article where they interview Keith and the article where they interview Andrew, both fantastic and just so much insight. The record, they close the record by singing Rolling Stone Blues, where they get their name. It's a Muddy Waters song. So they do a cover of this Muddy Waters song. They had never done that song before. They had never sang it, never covered it, never played it live, never recorded it. It was Andrew Watt's idea, and he kind of had to talk them into it to do it. And it's just Mick and Keith singing the song that gave them their name to close the record. And I think it's magical and amazing. And there's a lot of great thing moments on the record. And the songs are just also well-written and wonderful. You should check it out. So my number one album of the year, Rolling Stones, Hackney Diamonds. Thanks for checking out my top 10 records of the year. And thanks for being a fan of the podcast. Please make sure you're following us on social at MyFi Podcast. Everywhere you can follow me at Lee T. Baker as well. We're most active on Instagram. Make sure that you go subscribe on YouTube and check out the episodes there. Today, you're just watching my face talking into a microphone. Every time we have a guest on, you can see us interacting and stuff. And we have a lot of people that like to watch the podcast or consume the podcast that way. But make sure you subscribe and click the bell and do all the YouTube things so you get the notifications and whatnot. You know how that works. And I hope you enjoyed music this year. I hope you enjoyed the podcast this year. Please tell a friend, share it, rate it, review it. All that stuff helps us pop up in people's feeds and whatnot. And we want to be a place that you can come as a creative person, find out about great new things that are going on, as well as just be encouraged by the work and the journey and the process of other creative people. You can check out myficoaching.com as well. I work with creative people all the time as a coach. I do a free weekly newsletter called MyFi Monday, and you can sign up at myficpodcast.com or myficoaching.com. I also have a free creative planner that I created as a Notion template. Notion's a great software that I use every day. And it's just like a task manager, project manager for creative people. You can get that free as well. And there's a link to that in the bio of all our social media stuff if that's, you know, you want to kick off the year organized. So just wanted to tell you guys about all the stuff we got going on. And but mostly I want to tell you thank you for listening and being a part. And I hope you had a great 2023. Hope you have a great holiday season. And I hope you get 2024 kicked off in a great way. We got some great episodes already slated for 2024. And we'll be back every other week, chatting with great creative people about their process, their journey, and their work. So have a good one. Thanks for being a part of MyFi. Until next time, you have a great one.